ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I have a question for you before we start. Can you think of a leader you've worked with who's inspiring? Now, try to think of one who is infuriating. Keep both of these examples front of mind as we explore what makes them that way and what to do about it. Hello, I'm Lisa Leong and welcome to ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. This year we've been exploring the themes of power. I recently spoke to psychotherapist Esther Perel about conflict and its relationship to power. We're excited to take our show on the road to come to you from the 2026 Power, Status and Influence Research Conference hosted by Melbourne Business School. My guest was Adam Galinsky, a social psychologist and a professor of leadership and ethics at the Columbia Business School. Many people have heard of someone called Daniel Kahneman, Nobel laureate, Thinking Fast and Slow. Tell us about the time when you went to a class of Daniel Kahneman. What happened?
So the first class I ever had as a PhD student in 1993 was with Danny Kahneman. At the time, he wasn't yet a Nobel laureate, but he was an incredibly famous professor. And I was a first-year doctoral student at Princeton University. And so it was a three-hour seminar in which it was supposed to be kind of a conversation with Danny as he led it. And about an hour and a half in, I saw an opportunity to say something I thought was insightful. And I raised my hand. And I still remember over 30 years later exactly what Danny did that day. He crossed his arms, he shrunk up his face, he shook his head, and he said, "That's not right at all."
Oh, no.
And then, you know, he smiled his beatific smile and went on, and the rest of the class went on, and, you know, I was frozen. It felt so humiliating. And it took me weeks and weeks before I could speak in Danny's class, but in any class, right? I felt so silenced by that just poignant feeling of humiliation and contempt.
And then something else happened as well, which could be contrasted with that moment. Let's just go to that second moment then.
Yeah, so about 6 weeks into the term, I was walking down the hallway and Danny turned to me without stopping walking, so just an offhand comment over his shoulder. He said, "Adam, you're a great writer. I love reading your reflection papers." And I was so consumed with exhilaration that I literally skipped down the hallway. Like, I didn't know what to do. And just transformed by this offhand, casual compliment.
What is happening there? You have a name for it.
Yeah, so I coined a term to describe these two diametrically opposed phenomenon that really represent the same underlying idea. And I call it the leader amplification effect. So when you're a leader, everything you do, say, even your facial expressions are amplified. And because your signals, these signals are coming off more strongly, your reactions are intensified. So Danny's two comments, which he does not remember, and you know, I've talked to him about it 25 years later, you know, they were offhand, they were casual, they were essentially unimportant to him, but they were deeply impactful for me. And so one of the things that we have to remember as leaders is that we are essentially in a spotlight, right? There's attention that's directed to us, and that attention comes from our stature, it comes from the power that we wield in our roles. And because of that attention, everything we say and do gets amplified and the reactions get intensified.
Now, I want to pick you up on a great point that you made, that Daniel Kahneman couldn't really remember. He was blind
right
to the fact of this effect. So can you go deeper on this kind of blindness that we have as leaders?
Yeah, I mean, we're often not even aware of the impact. And, you know, one of the interesting things, I'll tell you a story about this, is I was promoted a couple years ago to a vice dean role. And then I became vice dean on July 1st. And then I taught my first MBA class in August. And I walk in the first day class. This is the first class is going to be taught for all the entering MBAs. So they've never been in the classroom before at this moment, and there's something wrong in the classroom. Like, something's not working. And so I call tech support, and, you know, the tech support comes in, and they can't fix it. And I was pretty annoyed, and I was like, I basically said this phrase, that's unacceptable. About 3 weeks later, my dean came by my office, and he said, hey, Adam, I want you to remember that you're always wearing your vice dean hat, even when you're not a vice dean in a meeting. And I was like, yeah, I know. And he's like, oh, do you? And I was like, what? He's like, do you remember the first day of class when you yelled at the tech support? And he said, you made that woman cry. Because you were not just a professor, now you were a vice dean yelling at her. Here's the deeply, deeply ironic point. I was literally teaching. The first thing I teach in my leadership class is the leader amplification effect. So I was literally about to describe the very phenomenon that I was blind to, right? And so we have to remember that any time that we're in a position of leadership, that people are going to be paying very close to our attention. And that very close attention, it doesn't just come from leadership. It's when people look up to you, when they feel like you're important in their eyes.
So I want to go to this continuum.
Yep.
Inspiring to infuriating, which I just love. And you have a question for us about something to reflect on.
Yeah. So I just want everyone in the room to think about a leader that inspired you. And I want you to think about this leader. Think about what is this feeling of inspiration? Like, how would you describe it? And when I ask people, sometimes they use almost inchoate environmental words like, you know, warmth or light, right? But they often use psychological feeling like awe as another description. Mm. But the way that I like to describe it, it's a wellspring of hope and possibility. It's just like this percolating positive energy that percolates inside you and sort of spreads throughout your body. And so I want you to think about this leader that changed you inside. What was it about that person that inspired you? What was it that filled you with that wellspring of hope and possibility? And I want you just to try to pinpoint in your mind the exact characteristic, trait, aspect of their behavior or their words that led to that ineffable feeling.
And let's go to the example that you use, Captain Tammy Schultz.
Yeah. So I want you, you're all sitting right now in rows, and you could be on a plane right now. You're sitting in some sense, you know, three to a row. And I want you to just think about
Hang on, let me just do the emergency aisle. So it's just down the middle, and the exits are there and there. Okay, carry on.
Okay. And, you know, some of you, fortunately, have window seats, so you get to look out on beautiful Australia as you take off and Melbourne. And I want you to think about suddenly you hear one of the loudest sounds you've ever heard in your life. And you look out the window and you see fire. It's descending. It's going to go down about 20,000 feet in the next couple of minutes. And you probably think you're plummeting to your death. And that's what the passengers felt. Multiple passengers frantically, their fingers shaking, desperately tried to log on to Wi-Fi so they could send goodbye messages to their family. And just as you're in the middle of doing this, you hear a little crackle from the PA. And the captain, Tammy Jo Schultz, comes on and says 10 words that are going to transform you from pure panic to possibility. And those 10 words were, we are not going down, we're going to Philly. And the passengers talked about that, why that was so transformative. What she did in that moment is something that one of the most powerful things that leaders need to do for people is she helped them make sense of their experience. So in their mind, they were plummeting, right? But what she told them with those 10 words is, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing a planned descent. Right? She was in control. So that's another thing. So first of all, how we see the world, we help people make sense of the world, but we also demonstrate that we are protecting people in the world. And so when people landed, right, everyone talked about these 10 words, we're not going down, we're going to Philly, as transformative. And I just want to contrast this with another experience. My twin brother is on a plane going in America from Denver to Montana, and the plane dropped 12,000 feet in a couple of seconds. And what happened next was remarkable, because what happened next, in contrast to Tammy Jo Schultz, was nothing. The pilots never said a word. And my brother, you know, he said, my mind just raced and raced with horrific worst case scenarios that would have been allayed by a simple communication, just 10 words, you know, from the cockpit. I love this one phrase that he used. He said, it was like deafening silence. Mm. Like, and when we're on a plane, we can hear the roar, right? You know, people put in noise-canceling headsets. And so it just shows this deep contrast. Leaders have superpowers, and sometimes those superpowers are just so simple, 10 words that can transform your life.
Why is it a continuum? Why is it going from inspirational to infuriating as a continuum?
Yeah, well, first of all, so the second reflection question I always ask people after we go through and we talk about these inspiring leaders and the characteristics, the second thing I say, okay, now tell me about a different leader that also changed you inside. But this time, instead of creating that wellspring, right, of hope and possibility, they create what I call a seething cauldron of rage and resentment, right? And I ask people, like, what was it about that person that made your blood boil? And so when you start to talk to them, you immediately see two things that are transparent. The first is that every time someone mentions something that was inspiring, the exact opposite is mentioned as infuriating. So we could think about, you know, just our pilots where you talked about, inspiring leader shed light on my experience and helped me make sense of it. And infuriating leader left me in the dark to panic, right? Inspiring leader is courageous, right? Infuriating leader is cowardly. Inspiring leader thought about others, and infuriating leader only thought about themselves, right? So you can start to see that this continuum exists. And I think one of the reasons why the continuum exists is because of the leader amplification effect, right? We don't have a choice to impact people when people are paying attention to us, when our signals are amplified. We will inspire or infuriate. That's where our choice becomes.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National with me, Lisa Leong. This is a special episode of the show recorded at the Melbourne Business School for the Power, Status and Influence Research Conference. My guest is Adam Galinsky, Professor of Leadership and Ethics at the Columbia Business School. Let's hear some more.
The second thing that becomes really apparent is that everything that people say really falls into these three universal factors.
All right, let's go through the three universal factors because this will be helpful as we're trying to prepare ourselves to move up that continuum. So the first one is visionary.
Right. Being visionary is how we see the world and how we communicate about the world. And it really comes down to a couple of different things. The first is, do you have big picture, meaningful, optimistic vision of the future? Right, and that's how we make sense of our world. Now, we want our leaders to be optimistic, to see the world might not be very good today, but they can see a better world, right? That's a part of it. Second is that they're infusing our experience with a sense of meaning and purpose.
Now, the second factor is a really interesting one. It's exemplary.
Yes. So when exemplars are, so I said visionaries, how we see the world, exemplars, how we are in the world, in some ways our presence. And so I already mentioned one of those continuums, which is courageous versus cowardly, right? This sense that someone is taking care of me is protecting me in the world. Another element, and this goes back to the leader amplification effect. So as humans, our emotions are contagious. But as leaders, our emotions become truly and deeply infectious, right? So if we're anxious as a leader, we're going to infuse anxiety in others. But when we're calm as a leader, then we are able to help other people feel calm.
So the third factor of your three universal factors, which are qualities that inspiring leaders have, we've done visionary, we've done exemplary, and this is mentor.
Yeah, so the way I think about, you know, mentor is we inspire people through our words, through our actions, but also our interactions. And so mentor is how we sort of interact with others. And to really understand that, I'll just give you a simple physics problem. Like if you put force and pressure on an object, what direction does it go in? Well, if you're conversant with Newton's first law of physics, you would say in the direction of the force. Now I'm going to change one word in that sentence. If you put force and pressure on a person, what direction do they go in? Well, they often push back. So if you don't remember anything else from this, I want you to remember these three words. People aren't objects. If people were objects, like, leadership would be a physics problem, right? But it's not. It's a person problem. And so we have to remember that people are autonomous beings that want to be recognized, right, for their own significance. And so one of the things about being a great mentor, inspiring mentor, is really finding a balance between competing forces, encouraging people, but also challenging them, right? Trusting them, but also guiding them. And so that's another thing that we see with infuriating leaders is they're just not engaged. They're focused on themselves, or they're too engaged, right? They overwhelm you. And so it's finding that Goldilocks balance between guiding people, but letting go, right? Encouraging them, but challenging them, right? You know, helping set them up for success, but not abandoning them.
Okay, let's go deeper then on the dark side here, Adam. I noticed, you know, the energy around even just asking the simple question, you know, can you recall an infuriating leader? And everyone's nodding their heads and it's pretty easy to recall, unfortunately. So what's the deal with infuriating leaders? What does the research tell us about how they come to be, Adam?
Infuriating leaders are really insecure leaders. We were just at this conference on Power Status Influence, and there's one of my co-authors and colleagues did this great work, not with me, but with other people, Nate Fast, where, you know, here's a great example. You're promoted. You're in this new position of power. You're a leader. And almost anyone new in that situation is going to feel like, do I have the competence to do this? Like feeling insecure. And so one of the things that that Nate has shown is that when people are feeling like that sense of insecurity in their role, they are much more likely to treat people in an infuriating way, demeaning ways, micromanaging them, disregarding them. And that anxiety, one of the things I've shown in my research is one of the most fundamental things that anxiety does is it narrows our attention and it focuses on ourselves.
We're at a Power Status and Influence conference. So how does power and status in particular interact with this concept of inspirational leader?
Earlier I used the word insecurity as really the core root of many infuriating behaviors. And shame is a good example of that, right? It makes us sort of feel insecure about ourselves. But one of the things that I've shown in my research is that there's this difference between power and status. And power is really about the control you have over resources that other people want, so they're dependent on you. But status is really about the, are we valued, are we respected, are we admired in our role? Probably the single most destructive combination for leaders are leaders with lots of power that feel low in status. I actually coined a phrase for that, the little tyrant effect. And I came up with it, and many of you in the audience probably do this, is there's someone that is one of the most powerful people in any organization, but their position doesn't have a lot of status or standing, but they control one of the most important things that you want in the world, and that is reimbursements. And when I was at a university, we had the person in charge of reimbursements, and she was like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld, if you remember this person. She literally had red tape around her cubicle and you could not cross it. You had to like hand her the paper in a particular way or she would go off on a tirade. And she had power over whether you got money, but she didn't have a lot of status. She didn't feel respected. And one of the things that I didn't discover this, someone clued me in, is that she loves snow globes. So if you went around the world and you got a snow globe from where you were and gave it to her, you became in her good graces. And I like this example because the snow globe was basically saying, you matter, right? You're important.
We've got a fun segment that we do at the end of the episode. It's called Try This. And so what we do is we get our experts to give us something. It's like an experiment.
Yep.
And so we will go out into the world and we'll try this thing and then we'll report back to you. So, Adam, for us to become more inspiring leaders, what would you like us to try?
So I'm going to give you two things. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So the first thing I'm going to give you is something that I call reap what you sow. And now reap what you sow comes from the Bible. And it's basically that which we put out in the world comes back to us in kind. But MyREAP is an acronym for R-E-I-P, so it's a homonym of REAP, and the acronym stands for Reflect on Your Own Experiences, so when you're inspiring for reading, reflect on the experiences of other leaders that inspired you and emulate them, so E is emulate. Take those reflections and turn them into intentions, that's the I, and then practice those intentions. So you could pick one thing. How can I communicate this really important issue in a more passionate and authentic way? You know, so that would be one example. But I'm going to give you a second thing. And this comes from a man named Joseph Stigliano. And Joseph Stigliano is president of a bank in the United States. He has 1,200 employees. He sends every single employee a birthday message on their birthday. And I was with him and I was like, that's impossible. He said, no, it's not. It takes me 10 minutes a day. I was like, how? Now, obviously he has a good spreadsheet, right, for that. But he sends them a very quick message and he showed me one of them, right? He might say, hey, Lisa, happy birthday. Hope you had a great weekend. How was bowling? This was the example he gave. And then he showed me Lisa's response. And it's like, oh my God, bowling was amazing, blah, 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 blah. You know, it gives the thing back. So I shared this with a group of CEOs recently, and one of the CEOs contacted me afterwards and said, I started doing what Joseph did, but a little different, and I think what he did is even easier. He said, every morning over my cup of coffee, I send one text to a person in my orbit that looks up to me or I have more power than, and I either express gratitude, like, thanks so much for your work on that report last week, we couldn't have done it without you, or praise. I was just reflecting again on the presentation you gave and how you hit it out of the park. One sentence. And he said, and this is what I think you can most take from this, is he said, I did this, put a skip in their step, but I would get these gushing responses back that filled me with inspiration, with passion, with a skip in my step. He also said something I think was really interesting. He said, you know, we always tell people, face-to-face, face-to-face, face-to-face. Don't text, don't write. He said, but when you send a compliment, actually texting's better. And I was like, how do you mean? He's like, well, when I compliment someone in the office, they get embarrassed, you know, and they kind of wave it away. But when you text them in person, they get to savor it. And so the CEO said, I sent a note to someone. They said, I read it all weekend, you know, multiple times. And every time I read it, it put a smile on my face. But someone else said, I sent it to my mom, you know? And so when you send somebody by text that's a compliment, they get to savor it and they get to share it. So I'll leave you with this. Every single day, reach out to one person in your orbit and just give them a compliment or express gratitude for something they did. And if you do that, you will not only inspire them, but you will also inspire yourself.
So we are going to try this and we will report back to Adam if you write to thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Can we thank Adam, please? Adam Galinsky, thank you so much. We have a snow globe here to present to you. Thank you so much. And thank you, all of you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was fun. Adam Galinsky is a professor of leadership and ethics at the Columbia Business School. His book is called Inspire, The Universal Path for Leading Yourself and Others. And thanks to Jen Overbeck, Professor of Management at the Melbourne Business School, for inviting us to interview Adam at the Power, Status and Influence Research Conference. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim Simons and Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can like or subscribe to our show on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can share the love as well. Send it to a friend or a colleague you think would enjoy This Working Life too. I'm Lisa Leong, and until next time, work it like a charm.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.